Good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board in open session. It's Thursday, October 20th, 2022. It is 8:36 p.m. on the East Coast. I think I said my name was Julie Hewitt, and as the chair of the PNB, and we appear to have quorum. Marion, could you call the roll, please?
I will do so. Teresa Allen. Teresa?
She is traveling. I'm hoping she can plug in. It probably won't be until a while from now.
Okay. Jim Dingaman. What? I do not hear from Jim Dingaman. Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I am here.
Good. Sue Goodwin. I'm not hearing. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Any word? Nope. Okay. Evelia Jones. I'm not hearing anything. Ali Lexa.
He will be late.
Okay. Got it. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Good. James McFadden.
Present.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam. Sharon?
I have to stay. I've lost my connection with these schmucks.
That sounded like Jim Dingaman.
No, Jim, you are connected.
Pardon? Yeah. I will mark you as present. Okay. Sharon Salam. Not hearing. Okay. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Mark van Landert.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Here.
Good. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Let me go over again. We're expecting Teresa Allen later. Sue Goodwin, any word? Nothing. Okay. Donna Grimes, any word? Nothing. Evelia Jones. I hear nothing. And Sharon Salam. Okay.
Sharon just texts me. She's going to be a little late.
Okay. I will mark that. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. Are we expecting Markeisha? I guess not.
No.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev.
Here.
Good. John Tatum.
Here.
Good. And I am here. I believe we have a quorum.
Thank you. I'm going to read the report out from two previous closed sessions. Beth, you're not muted. Two previous closed sessions. The first one is from the meeting of October 6th. And I believe what happened was we intended to have an upside down meeting that evening where we would meet in closed session first and then an open session. And I believe we did not ever get to an open session that evening. So there was no opportunity for me to read the report out. And the report out is the PNB heard advice from attorneys on the current financial situation and has made no decisions on how to move forward.
Okay.
Second, report out from the closed session of October 13th. That was, strictly speaking, a closed session meeting. There was no open session on the 13th. And the report out from the 13th is the PNB met in closed session to conduct a disciplinary hearing and to discuss personnel matters. Next item on the agenda is excused absences. Would someone
motion
like-
to excuse, motion to excuse absences.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Aki. Is there any discussion of the motion to excuse those absent this evening? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to the motion to excuse? Hearing no objections, those absences are excused. Next item up is identifying timekeepers. I need someone to time people.
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate that. And I need someone to keep time for items.
Because Lawrence did such a superb job last time, and it was really hard, I volunteered to do this easy one tonight.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. It's never easy. But, Vilya is in the meeting.
Oh, thank you. Have you made note of that, Marianne, that Avelia's here?
Thank you, Lauren.
Yes, appreciate it. Now that we've identified timekeepers, the next item on the agenda is agenda approval, a 5-minute item. I will briefly read the agenda.
And Teresa is now here, too. Houston number.
Thank you.
I think Jim Dingman is here as well.
I think we recorded Jim Dingman's
presence
before. And thank you, Teresa. Okay, so let me continue with reading the agenda. We don't have any open session minutes to approve, so we're skipping that usual normal item. Item number 4 is a motion to void certain actions. It's a 10-minute item. Item 5 is a motion on KPFK seat on the Strategic Planning Committee. It's a 10-minute item. This is followed by committee motions. We have several committee motions. We have one from the Finance Committee that's a 10-minute item. More than one from the Elections Committee, but we're going to tackle one from the Elections Committee first. That's a 20-minute item. I think I left this thing on here that was item committee motions, item F. I meant to delete that, because that's not actually a motion. So, and then 6G, which is the Strategic Planning Committee, that was a 20-minute item, and it's a motion on underwriting. And then closing out the agenda was unfinished business, and there we do have some, which is so I allotted 30 minutes for discussion of the remaining 3 of 4 Elections Committee motions, and then we have new business and adjourning to closed session at a time certain of 10 p.m. Lawrence, would someone like to move that we approve the agenda?
So moved, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Can I get a second?
Second, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. Discussion on the agenda. Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. since I submitted a substitute motion on the underwriting for consideration motion, I'd like to, I don't know how to do this, but move that motion on underwriting to the next meeting to my substitute motion. Could be a study and digest along with the underwriting motion. Thank you.
Second.
That was Susan. Thank you. Any discussion of the motion to postpone?
Teresa, for the staff.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
But does by next meeting, do you mean the meeting that is next week?
The next, Chair, if I could respond.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
The next meeting that is scheduled, Teresa. I think that's the best I can do.
Yes, and there is actually a meeting scheduled for next week. So that would be next week.
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
Isn't the meeting next week in executive session for a specific group of?
The meeting next week in part of it has to be an executive session, but that doesn't mean we can't also have an open session. So, it's our choice, right? And actually, I set it up so that the meeting could have an open session component just in case we did not get through everything tonight because we once again have a fairly ambitious agenda. Teresa?
Jim to the stack.
I got your hand, Jim, but Teresa, were you trying to say something or was that Vanessa?
Yes. I believe that Darlene Cardano last week said I would like the people to be reminded that we have an election next Tuesday. So not next Tuesday, Tuesday
after. Teresa, it's really hard to hear you.
It's really hard to hear because Jim Jim's
Jim is not muted.
Well, he's not muted. Thank you, Jim. Teresa, go ahead.
I would just like to suggest that because many people will be, some of us will be heavily involved in the election process for the next 2 weeks, that we not schedule an open meeting unless it's absolutely necessary.
Your point is well taken.
I would like to suggest that Mr. Reyes considers moving this to, I think it would be November 10th after the election.
Well, November 3rd would technically be after the election, the Thursday after the Tuesday election.
No, no, it's no. The 8th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I confused it with something else that's happening on November 1st. Sorry. You're right. It would be the 10th. Is that a motion, Teresa? A motion to amend the amendment?
Yes, it is.
Chair, if I will second the motion.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be working the elections too, so.
Got it. Thank you. And thank you all for keeping me honest about dates,
And you have Vanessa's hand up.
Yeah. Jim Dingaman also put himself on the stack, but Vanessa was already on the stack. So Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. So I should have made a point of information, but if Lawrence or you could repeat what he said in terms of the intention of the underwriting issue. And the reason I'm raising it is because maybe I'm the only one, but I consider it to be important if we were looking for a way maybe to, infuse some cash sooner rather than later. And I think I asked about this 6 weeks ago because I was on strategic planning 2 years ago when we were still talking about it. And it was my understanding something was going to be sent to us like the following week. And that was 6 weeks ago. So here we are postponing it again. So I just want to make sure I understood or understand what Lauren said in terms of what the plan is.
The motion to discuss this is not on the floor.
Well, that will inform how I vote on the motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to add information
ahead,
to Vanessa.
Go ahead, Susan.
Sure. Vanessa, this and I think Beth will, or maybe it would be Alex, will confirm this. The prohibition about starting underwriting. And in fact, KPFT is starting an underwriting program. The motion that is going to be coming forward.
We're discussing the amendment
She doesn't want to vote for the amendment to postpone if it is that she can't start underwriting. So that's what I'm addressing.
Thank you very much for understanding my question and how it relates to the motion. I appreciate that.
And what the pilot project is to start with a very well-framed thing to which everybody can opt in or not. But you can start underwriting now.
Chair, Vanessa did
ask. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I would just include Vanessa that I don't think it's going to delay the process of seeking an alternative funding stream. It's just because the motion to substitute wasn't included in the agenda when it was sent out some time ago. So we just, as you know, we're doing, everybody's doing political work during the season. So that's why I agree with Teresa's motion to postpone.
Thank you, Lawrence. Further discussion of the motion to postpone to November 10th? I mean, the motion to amend the amendment to the motion to postpone to November 10th.
This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, this issue has been in front this board now for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I understand Lawrence's, I've read Lawrence's motion, et cetera. There are two very different motions. One is to basically get the show on the road. And that's the main motion, to actually start to implement it, to delegate it to the stations, to actually implement and try to develop an income stream. I look at the substitute motion, which as I understand would replace the motion that was crafted at the Strategic Planning Committee. Is that correct? Is my understanding correct that that would be a new motion that would suit for that?
That's correct.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, then I have to oppose this. I think we have to move on and get this implemented. I understand Lawrence is adding on some important factors to this, which can be dealt with in the general motion, but this motion has been discussed, as Vanessa mentioned, for several years now. And I think we just have to, given the financial situation, the network, and again, I don't consider this a, silver chalice solution, but I think we have to, get this motion passed tonight. So I would oppose the substitute motion and I would oppose delaying discussing this tonight. I would oppose the motion to delay.
Got it. Thank you. Further discussion of
I don't know how to raise my hand. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Sue Goodwin.
And this shouldn't affect the decision that much, but on November 10th, that's Jokes and Justice, our fundraiser for WPFW. So that I would not be able to attend.
That is correct. Thank you. Any other further discussion of the motion to amend? All right, I'm going to see if there are any objections to the motion to amend.
Yes, I object.
All right. Marion, can we go to a roll call vote? So just so everyone's clear, the motion to amend, the original motion to amend, so we're voting on the motion to amend an amendment, and this amendment would change the when we vote to November 10th. From the next meeting.
Okay, let me get that clear. So from November 10th to the next meeting.
No, it would have been to the next meeting, and the motion to amend changes to the next meeting to November 10th.
From next meeting to November 10th. Okay, got it. Okay, Teresa Allen. Teresa? Nanu. Okay, we'll come back to Teresa. Jim Dingman?
I vote to not postpone this, whatever that would be, no or yes, whatever
it is.
No.
That's a no.
Okay. No. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin? Sue Goodwin?
I'll say no.
Votes no. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Is Donna Grimes on the call yet?
Yes.
Donna won't. Oh, yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Donna.
Yes. Yeah. No, vote no.
Votes no. Evelia Jones. I'm not hearing anything. Evelia? Okay. Is Ali Lexa on yet?
I'm here.
How do you choose to vote?
I'm going to pass for the moment.
Okay, let's pass. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
Abstains.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Abstains.
James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam. Is Sharon on yet? Doesn't sound like it. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark van Landuit.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
Abstains.
Okay, Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let me see who I've missed. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Says yes. Okay. Evelia Jones.
Hello. I want to know postponed to what date?
November 10th.
To November 10th. Okay. All right. Yes.
Votes yes.
Okay. Marianne, I'd like to change my vote.
Who was that?
Sean Rhodes.
Sean. Yes. What, you abstained, how do you wish to vote?
No.
Votes no. Got it. Is Sharon Salam on the call yet? Not hearing anything. Okay, Ali Lexa, you chose to pass. How do you, choose to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Votes yes. Okay. I believe I've got everybody. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstains. Okay, there being 10 yes and 7 no, the motion passes. And I understand the motion is to postpone this matter until November 10th. Is that correct?
Well, it was a motion to amend. So now the amendment is to postpone this to November 10th. And so now we have to vote on the amendment to the main motion, which is, are we amending the main motion? Or are we not, right? And so it's, the main motion was to postpone it to the next meeting. And so now the amendment is, again, to change it to November 10th.
And just to be clear, if there's anything involved in this that involves WPFW, I will not be there.
Right. Thanks, Sue. Okay, are there any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing none, the motion to amend passes. Therefore, the main motion is now postponing to November 10th. And now we vote on, and so that means it's either November 10th or tonight, basically. That's what this vote is. Are there any objections to the motion to amend the agenda? Hearing no objections.
A point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
So we're just talking about basically in the whole debate on both motions until the 10th of November. Is that correct? We're not talking about...
Yes, that's correct.
We're not... Okay, fine. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So do I hear any objections to the motion to postpone this agenda item, basically, to November 10th? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. Okay, that takes us.
Jim, you got to mute yourself, Jim.
Do you now need to adopt the amended agenda?
We need to adopt the amended agenda. I was about to skip over to the next item, and now I just realized that, yes, now we have to vote on the agenda as amended. Are there any objections to the agenda for this evening as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay, now we move on to the next item. This one's called, this one had a much longer name, and I shortened the name because the name of the motion was longer than the motion, and that somehow seemed not quite right. So this is called the motion to void certain actions. This is a 10-minute item, Susan, and the motion is in the appendix, and I shall read it now. Whereas on July 7th, 2022, the motion to make all LSB meetings open to directors was passed. Be it resolved that any actions or motions made by a Pacifica committee or LSB where the actions or motions take place in a meeting where any PNB director is purposefully excluded for reasons other than failure to sign a non-disclosure agreement be null and void. Would someone like to make the motion?
Chair, request information.
Doug, go ahead, Lawrence.
Did that motion come from a committee or?
It did not.
Okay. So I move the motion.
Thank you, Lawrence. Is there a second?
Vanessa, I'll second.
Beth.
Thank you, Vanessa. And thank you, Beth, for being willing. Is there any discussion of this motion?
Jim to the stack.
Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, this is a motion to basically enforce the decision of the board to not be stymied. All of us have NDAs. People have been permitted into executive sessions in various LSBs. There's been no great disruption. And, you know, it's our right and responsibility from a fiduciary point of view to be able to gain information that's important to us carrying out our task. And some boards decide not to encourage or deter that for whatever reasons. And the importance of this is to have uniform application of this throughout the whole system and in carrying out with the motion that was passed by the board several weeks ago or months ago. That's the purpose of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I see a stack. I see Lawrence and Aki. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. This motion was codified at the PNB Governance Committee. It was forwarded to this board, and the colleagues agreed. And I've been, as a result of this motion, I've been able to experience other speeds, executive sessions. I've been to KPFT. I've been to WBAI. I haven't been to WPFW or KPFA, but I know that. I think it's a practical motion, and we should just go ahead and approve it and move it forward. Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Thanks. Aki.
Sure. I think that this motion actually goes against the Robert's Rule of Order, because the Robert's Rule of Order says that members can be excluded from a meeting. And then a director is only a member of the local station board that is, you know, that voted for him. He is not a member of, he or she is not a member of all the other LSBs.
Thank you, Aki. I see.
Request for information check, and Aki, provide that citation.
Well, it certainly is in the, yeah, I can send you the citation for sure.
Thank you, Aki. Now I have a little bit of a stack. I see Susan, Jim Sagerton, and Jim Dingman. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, the PNB voted to authorize this, and I understand that. but potentially someone saying, ah, I wasn't allowed in, and so therefore everything done in that LSB meeting is rendered invalid, is a prescription for chaos. And I think that Jim Dingman, one of the things that Jim does is when he gets enthusiastic about something, he comes in with a draconian punishment if people do not follow. And I have seen the way in which people create chaos, and I think this is an invitation to do that.
Thanks, Susan. Jim Sagerton, then Jim Dingman. Sagerton?
Yeah, I won't be making any personal attacks on people. I think, you know, the fruit of the poisonous tree is a well-established principle in law. If you do something illegally, you don't get the benefit of it. And so with the PMB did pass this idea that these meetings are open to directors because directors have a fiduciary responsibility. We, after all, can be sued, as Pacifica can be sued for things that go on in these meetings. And so we have not only a right, but a duty to know what goes on there. So I will support this motion. I have appreciated Lawrence's attendance at some of our meetings, and I think this is the way to go. We need to protect the foundation and ourselves from liability. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim Sagerton, then Lawrence, then John Tatum. Go ahead,
Jim. That was me.
I'm sorry, Jim Dingman.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Julie? Go ahead.
All right. The committees, the LSBs are committees of the PNB, and we have encountered chaos, in a sense. Ms. Young cites chaos. Well, we've been trying to implement the intention of this body to gather financial and audience information from all the stations, and we've had mixed results. In one case, one board has decided to make it a cause of almost legal action. And we're trying to deal with a pretty difficult situation, as we all know. We're trying to turn the whole situation around and create revenue streams that are sufficient to get us out of this mess. And if we encounter, rigidness on the part of some, it makes it impossible to do that. So, you know, there comes a point when one has to decide, okay, fine, if you guys decide to not honor the fact that we have an additional responsibility as directors to, you know, try to be cognizant of a whole bunch of factors and then decide to rebuff us, there has to be consequences for that. And I consider that chaos on the part of some of our colleagues who act in a very parochial fashion. Thank you.
Next up is Lawrence, then Mr. Tatum. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing what Mr. Tatum and Arthur has to say about this. But I'm not an attorney by any stretch of the imagination. As you know, I am a social worker. So, but I know that we are, I believe we are libelous to the behavior of some LSBs or some of the actions they may take.
Barry, Morris Needham.
We are, Heather, okay. We are actually, I think we incur liability, and we could potentially be sued. And I think the citation, I read it, and I think the citation just mentions a special committee or something like that. I mean, we are all, we are fiduciaries of all these, of our advisory committees. So, to say that there's some sort of separation, I think it's not well taken by me. So I look forward to hearing what Mr. Tatum and what Arthur has to say. But I believe we are completely liable legally, for anything that's libelous that's coming out of any actions that may not be within the bylaws or overstretching or too punitive in regards to some of the actions they may be taking. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Mr. Tatum, then James McFadden. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening, everyone. I just wanted to say about the dimension of Robert's Rules of Order, I wanted the board members to remember that the PMB can make special rules of order, and those special rules of order will supersede anything in Roberts. So it's not the other way around. It's not that we have to follow Roberts. We have to follow our bylaws first. And then if the PMB makes any special rules, then Robert's Rules of Order falls to the ground. Thank you.
Point of inquiry, Chair?
I don't know that point of inquiry means jumping the
step. I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a request for information. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I would like to ask through you to Mr. Tatum if this motion fits the description of what he just said. Is this a special order as he was just describing?
Mr. Tatum?
Yeah.
A special rule.
Special rule of order. Yes, rules of order can be established by the PMB for all of Pacifica. That includes all its boards and all the committees that are underneath the LSBs. So when the PMB makes a rule that is contradictory to Roberts, the rule that the PMB made is the one that has the highest standing.
Motion.
And my question was,
Pardon,
this is,
motion
this is,
to extend
this is an
to five.
Example of that.
Oh, hang on 1 second.
Motion to extend for five.
Thank you, Sue. Is there a second to the motion to extend for five?
A second, Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for five? Hearing none, we're extended
Teresa
for five. And
Teresa
I hear you, Teresa. Go ahead, continue, Mr. Tatum.
Chair, I was trying to follow up.
No problem, Jim.
I was just looking for a yes or no answer. Is this an example of a special rule of order that you were describing?
This situation
we're discussing.
It is. And a request for information, I hope that you're asking the parliamentarian a question
doesn't detract
from the overall time on this item either. I hope that doesn't happen. Because I try to be short with my answers. And Jim, if you want a yes or no, this special rule of order that the PMB is making right now, you know, follows just that. It supersedes Robert's rule of order.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum. And that was an inquiry for Mr. Tatum, I believe. Mr. Tatum, did you want to say anything else? I'm recognizing you, or did you make your point?
I made my point. Thank you. And I need to talk to Stephanie Wells. I tried to call her in the office, and hopefully we can get in touch with each other. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. James McFadden, then Aki. James McFadden?
Yes, I just wanted to say that it bothers me when a member of the board here is attacked personally, and I think an apology is due. This original motion that was passed was just to allow directors to sit in on the meetings. It doesn't give them a vote. It doesn't necessarily even allow them to speak. That's up to the committee or the LSB whether they want to allow the directors to speak, you know, just like they might invite somebody else in. But the whole point was that directors can attend and listen in to what's being done in a committee or an LSB so that they can be informed. That was the point of this. And any other nefarious, you know, reasons for having this, you know, for saying, oh, this is going to create chaos and stuff. Just no reason for it. It's just, they're just listening in. It's like being able to listen to a recording of these meetings. So I think that's just a red herring, that kind of talk.
Thanks. And I will note that Susan did apologize in the chat for the ad hominem comment. Aki, and then Arthur, and then Susan. Aki.
Sure. I put in the chat the argument why the Roberts rules, you know, goes against this motion. And I was sort of surprised that, you know, John Tatum said that PNB can overrule anything in the Roberts rules. That is sort of surprising information, but I'm glad that he said that.
Next up is Arthur. Go ahead, Arthur. You're not muted yet, unmuted.
Okay. So you didn't hear my, the LSBs are committees of the board. And not vice versa. And as any committee is open to a board member, to attend, not vote, but to attend. And LSBs should be no different, because our bylaws say they are committees of the board, not independent bodies that can go, that have all sorts of special powers. There's a whole limitation on what they can do. And this has become, to me, it's become particularly important because everybody got these never-ending emails from Sharon Adams last week, where she said LSB members do not have a fiduciary responsibility to the foundation. She says, as a lawyer, it's my position that LSB members do not have fiduciary responsibility or a duty of loyalty to the foundation. And I believe she also said that members of committees do not have a fiduciary responsibility or duty of loyalty to the foundation, which I guess was why when she was on the finance committee, she was testifying in support of Verniel at his trial. That's a very dangerous position, and it is critical, in my opinion, that board members be allowed to go to, if that opinion is rampant in LSBs, we don't have any responsibility to Pacifica, that board members be able to go and find out what the hell is going on at those meetings of a bunch of people that think they don't have any fiduciary responsibility to the board. And I'm also going to propose, you know, at some point, I don't know how, even though I've gone through two bylaw votes, that we put in the bylaws that members of committees and LSBs have a fiduciary responsibility and a duty of loyalty to the foundation. But at least for now,
Your time is up.
I think we need to have this resolution.
Thank you. Susan, then Lawrence, then Jim Dingman. Susan.
Yes, I did apologize for the ad hominem. My objection was not to, and by the way, we're at 5, so I'm going to move to extend for another 2, or to exhaust the stack.
Exhausting the stack would be Lawrence and then Jim Dingman.
I second
Teresa was on the stack.
Right.
Okay.
And I think Teresa's ahead of me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the motion to extend, exhaust the stack. And did I hear a second for that? Oh, somebody, Lawrence seconded. I'm sorry. Are there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we'll do, which includes Teresa, Susan, Lawrence, and Jim Dingman. So, Teresa, you're up next.
I think that one of the issues here is I can't attend every meeting, and I don't want to have to attend every meeting. I think that we should be responsible for what we vote on. Some person attends development committee, APFT, and makes some horrible statements. I don't have any control over that. I think I should be held accountable by vote on a national board. I can't control somebody in Berkeley or in New York. I understand how I have a fiduciary responsibility for that. I don't think these committees are on the local level
And I guess I'd like to ask Mr. Tatum this question. I don't think they're making decisions. They are on the PNB.
I didn't hear a question for Mr. Tatum in there, Teresa, but I thought I heard you say you wanted to ask a question to Mr. Tatum.
Yes, the question I have for Mr. Tatum is, because I can't control an individual who makes some slanderous statement on a local committee, does that mean that fiduciary responsibility that I'm going to suffer for? I would think that PNB fiduciary responsibility for the decisions that we're making on this level. And I'd like to ask Mr. Tatum what he thinks of that.
Go ahead, Mr. Tatum, if you think that's a parliamentary question.
I didn't really get a good take on an answer to that question, but I'm thinking that no one can be responsible for anyone's behavior at any meeting, but certainly the PNB is not responsible for someone going out of line at one of the LSB meetings. I believe that the LSBs have the power to make the rules for their own committee and have their own disciplinary procedures, which actually are in the bylaws when somebody goes out of control at a meeting. But it's not, that's not what we mean by a fiduciary responsibility. That's a behavior issue there, and PNB is not responsible for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Tatum. So then it's Susan, Susan, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. First, for the recording, my apologies to everyone and to Jim Dingman for the ad hominem statement. That's number one. Number two, I was not objecting to the directors being able to attend. We already passed that, and, you know, I think that that's been pretty clear. What I object to is that if a director feels as though they've been barred, then any of the actions that were taken by that committee are deemed to be invalid. I am concerned about their being back and forth. I also have a question for Arthur. Arthur, does D&O insurance cover the LSBs?
No. As far as I know, our D&O policy applies to members of the board.
And why doesn't it apply to LSBs if they have a fiduciary responsibility?
Well, it's a good question. So, by the way, D&O insurance is not about fiduciary responsibility. It's about financial theft. But I'd have to look at the policy. I'm sure that the policy right now only covers the board. I do believe that members of the LSBs have a fiduciary responsibility. Members of the finance committee have a fiduciary responsibility. If they don't, then we're in big trouble. But, you know, counsel at KPFA disagrees with me. And that's a good question to ask and for me to explore. I haven't looked at the D&O policy. We got it about a year ago, and Lydia was the one who negotiated it.
Thank you.
So I have I understand that that the PNB could any committee could create a special rule, and you know, so we just did that at KPFK. We started with a special rule that we adopted essentially from the PNB. So that's clear. I think what's also clear, and this is a question for Teresa, did any director go go to your executive session and made inappropriate comments. Yes or no?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, maybe she's not available. But you know,
I'm sorry. What is the question again?
Teresa, the question was: did any director go to your KPFT, LSP, or executive session and make inappropriate comments? As you said, that somebody made, or maybe that was an example, a hypothetical.
No. No, no PNB member came to our executive session and made inappropriate.
Okay, I get it. So it was a hypothetical. All right. Arthur, so the question to you is this board, as fiduciary and license holders for our individual stations, are we liable for anything that may happen to one of our committees, or if somebody brings any action, illegal action to our committee, are we legally liable to be sued, or
who's we? Pacifica is, and yet, look, I want to.
Yeah, Pacifica. That's what I'm saying.
I want to understand something about D&O insurance. The ED, although the ED is the ED an officer? The ED is the president of the corporation.
Yes.
She's an unofficial, ex officio officer of the PNB, but she's the director of the foundation.
She's right. The president of the foundation.
But
yeah, fiduciary, she's an officer.
D&O insurance is not about a breach of fiduciary duty. When Goldmacher and Turner sued Alex Steinberg and Grace Aaron for breach of fiduciary responsibility, we didn't have a policy that covered it. We had to pay their bill. So it doesn't cover breach of fiduciary responsibility. It's about theft. And it's not really designed to cover the individual. It's designed to get restitution for the corporation if somebody steals. And if we breach our fiduciary, if the board breaches its fiduciary responsibility, or if individuals do, they can be sued. If the board, if an LSB does something inappropriate, it can be sued. I mean, we get sued. We resolved it before it resulted in a lawsuit. You know, some station had copyrighted material up on their website, and I had to negotiate a settlement before there was a lawsuit. So the station did something that caused liability for the foundation. And I would say an LSB could do that too. We were facing that situation in New York when the board, had a female program director and came up with only white male nominees for the position, and she threatened to sue for sex discrimination. We would have had to defend it as a corporation. So LSBs can do things that cause liability for the corporation. I think, again, what I said is, given that there's a thought, at least on one LSB, that they're not responsible to the corporation, it's important that, and it may exist in other stations. I think that it's important for directors to be able to go to the meetings.
Jim Dingman.
Yeah, thank you. We're involved in a very important task right now, all of us on this board. We're trying to turn around the only progressive broadcasting system in the United States. And it's a hard job. We all know that. I think all of us have heard from a lot of advice recently, and the advice has been, you guys have to get your act together and turn the situation around and raise more money and revenue to pay for your costs in order to do what you want to do. Now, if we encounter from some of our colleagues, essentially, parochialism, rigidity, and myopia, which is what we've encountered, what I certainly have encountered in the past couple of months, that does not help us fulfill that task. And we just have to say, hey, you know, one's not coming in there to spy on you. We're trying to figure out what's the best approach with everybody working together to try to pull this whole situation into a more positive situation, period. End of story. And to have constantly these nicking battles where people assume the worst, you know, it's frankly a waste of energy. The energy should be put like to fight, frankly. I don't mind fighting. I enjoy fighting, but I don't want to do it. I'd rather take that energy and put it into positive results for what we're doing here. And to constantly encounter this from other colleagues in the stations is a waste of energy. I hope we pass.
Tim, your time is up.
People have to understand that they're trying to understand. Thank you, Heather.
Thanks. Aki?
Yeah, I was just sort of wondering whether people think that directors are all pure people who have no agenda when they go into all these LSP meetings. I just don't find that to be credible.
Chair, I call for the vote.
Yeah, I don't have anybody else on the stack. So are there any objections to the motion to void certain actions?
Yes.
All right. Marion, could you take a roll call vote, please?
I will do so. Take me a sec here.
So a vote yes is a vote for the motion, and a vote no is a vote against the motion.
Thank you. Okay.
Can we please repeat the motion?
Yes, I can repeat the motion. It is, whereas on July 7th, 2022, the motion to make all LSB meetings open to directors was passed, be it resolved that any actions or motions made by a Pacifica committee or LSB, where the actions or motions take place during a meeting where any PMB director is purposefully excluded for reasons other than failure to sign a non-disclosure agreement, be null and void. Go ahead, Marianne.
Okay, Teresa Allen. Teresa? Teresa, I'm not hearing you.
Alan says no.
Says no. Okay, Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Says yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Yes. Sue Goodwin.
Can you explain this in simpler terms? What are we voting for or against?
That motion, that actions or motions made by a committee would be null and void if, during the meeting where those actions or motions took place, a PMB director was purposefully excluded for a reason other than failure to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Okay.
It's principally about directors from other stations attending local meetings.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, and that's Sue Goodwin votes yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Votes yes. Evelia Jones?
No.
Votes no. Ali Lexa?
No.
Votes no. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Votes no. James McFadden?
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton?
James Sanderson votes yes. Okay. Is Sharon Salam there yet? I guess not. Aki Tanaka.
I abstain.
Abstains. Mark van Landuyt.
No.
Votes no. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Gerto Willis.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. Okay, who have we missed? I don't believe Sharon is on the call, so I think that's it. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. There being 10 yes and 7 no votes, the motion passes.
All right. On to the next agenda item. This is a motion on KPFK seat on the Strategic Planning Committee. This is a 10-minute item. Susan Young. All right, so let me read the motion. Whereas, in the elections for director seats on committees held earlier this year, Beth van Gunten was elected and Lawrence Reyes was the runner-up, and whereas by virtue of being the vice chair of the PMB, Beth van Gunten is an ex officio member of the Strategic Planning Committee, thus leaving the KPFK director seat vacant, be it resolved that Lawrence Reyes is now considered the duly elected KPFK director to the Strategic Planning Committee.
Second.
Who was that? Susan?
That was Susan Young.
Okay, and who was the,
Committee. Technically me. We just discovered this error recently, like really recently, which is why, we're taking care of this motion this evening. Any other discussion on this motion? The other thing is Beth, would you like to speak to having the fact that you talked to Terry Goodman about this earlier?
Sure. I've been active with that committee the whole year, and once we lost Julia Kennard, I tried to figure out just how many we needed for a quorum, and I couldn't quite get the count to jive. And as I counted down through, I realized we had all the officers present, but there were only representatives from four of the five stations, and the one that was missing was from Kay. And so I called Paulina to try to track it down. She was helpful in digging out some of what the previous election material. And so I called and let Julie know that I was on to something, but hadn't pinned it down yet. So then I called Terry Goodman, and he was, as always, very enlightening and proposed this. I asked what would be the simplest remedy for this. And he said, well, we could hold a whole new election, or we could just, by resolution, recognize that Lawrence was indeed elected to this seat and acknowledge that now, belated. On his behalf, I'd like to say Lawrence has been attending those meetings even without having a vote. He's indicated his ongoing interest. So I think this is probably the simplest remedy we can come up with, and I feel badly we went this long without catching it, but I'm glad it's come to light now, and I will be voting for this. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Any other discussion on this motion? All right. We're saving a little bit of time. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Congratulations, Lawrence.
Hey, if I could just say one brief thing. Thank you, Susan, for seconding the motion. And I'm surprised that I didn't catch it. So I'm glad that somebody did. Thank you.
You bet, Lawrence. All right. So the next item on the agenda is some committee motions. And so the first one comes from the Finance Committee, and this is a motion on the confidentiality of financial documents from the NFC. Jim Sagerton, do you want to read it, or would you like me to read it?
How many minutes?
Oh, hang on. This is a 10-minute item. Thank you. Jim, would you like me to read it, or would you like to read it?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, no, I don't want to read it because I don't have it in front of me. I'm fighting to get back to my screen right now. However, I'll simply say that it speaks for itself. It was brought to the committee by one of the treasurers who had repeated issues on her local finance committee with people demanding documents that the National Finance Committee deemed to be inappropriate to provide to local finance committees due to a lack of non-disclosure agreements and a lack of a need to have those documents. So I think that the language, once it's read, speaks for itself and doesn't need any further motivation. Maybe we could save some time here, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Susan seconds.
Okay, let me read the motion. Thank you, Susan. Resolved that the only financial documents that can be shared with the public are the 990s filed with the IRS, the final audits, the monthly profit and loss statements, and unit budgets, and that for the purposes of these financial documents, the public is anyone not on the PNB, treasurers, or station general managers or business managers. That's the motion.
Chair, this is James.
Yeah, James, go ahead.
I did note that in the author of this motion left out the executive director in that list of people that were not included in the public, and it probably should be in there.
James, would you like to make a motion to amend?
Yes.
The motion to add the executive director?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All right, so now we're working on the motion to amend. Is there any further discussion of the motion to amend to add the ED to the list of people who are not public, people who are not the public? I don't hear any discussion. Any objections? Oh, Vanessa, is your hand up on this?
No, not on the amendment.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment? Hearing none. The motion is amended to add the executive director. Okay, so now we're back to the main motion, and I presume that is what your hand is raised to speak on, to Vanessa.
It is. So am I to understand that LSBs, even in executive session, are on that list that includes the public and not authorized to receive anything but the information that you mentioned? You being Jim, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm reading.
Who's the question to?
Me.
Oh, sorry.
So the 990s are, so there's a list of documents that can be shared with the public. And that list is the 990s filed with the IRS, the final audits, the monthly profit and loss statements, and unit budgets. And that for the purposes of these financial documents, the public is anyone not on the PNB, treasurers, or station general managers or business managers, or the ED. So, yes, Vanessa, it does sound like LSB members other than the PNB directors and treasurers.
Chair, may I add something there?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, the repeated demands are coming from a particular finance committee, and they involve the general ledger, and there may be other incidental documents that are demanded. But the general ledger contains certain salary information and other information that is confidential and could be, and also is, you know, proprietary, whatever. So that's the issue.
I will also add that there have been instances in the past where there have been